From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, man. We have a new NBA champion, the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks. After, 50 years? Wow. This episode, we're going to focus in on the NBA Finals, the NBA season as a whole, what we like, what we dislike. Have a nice little fun discussion, all right? Now, normally, we do the basketball on Wednesdays. We're going to go off track next week. Next week, we're going to go on live during the NBA draft next Thursday. So, usually with this platform, we've been on an every other week basis in the off season for our squad. So, but next week we are not going to miss the draft. So next Thursday night, I would say probably about 9 p.m. Draft probably is at 8 o'clock, right? So about 9 p.m. next Thursday, we're going to switch with the football people. Well, I don't think the football people even have an episode next week. But anyway, next Thursday night, 9 p.m. live on during the NBA draft. So we'll probably be already about a good 6-7 picks in probably at that point. And, especially with our squad, the Knicks, we probably won't pick till later on in that first round. So, unless trades happen and things like that. We'll get to that stuff later with our squad and around the NBA next week with the draft as that is unfolding. Because this is as a fast off season, as you already know, how the season got pushed back because of COVID and the season has come to a completion. Well, let's talk about it, man. Let's have some fun with it, man. Dominic, what's going on? How you doing, sir? How's everything? We're going to bring on some people on, brought some special guests with us. I inquired to bring on. Don, what's up, bro? How's everything? Say hello to the people.
Good evening, Steven. Good evening, folks.
All right. Now, shout outs to Don. Don, looking forward to talking with you. You bring up the great stats on Twitter. Yeah, we're going to get into all that as well with these NBA Finals. I don't know the ratings, but I would expect the ratings were off the hook. I would say off the hook, but better than it was last year. You could probably fill me in when we get back to you. Let's see. Yo, Gabe, is this you, Gabe? Shout out to Gabe, man. Gabe, is this you, man?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gabe, Sports Talk with Great Gabe. Sports Podcast is joining the Bleed Blue Show here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. It's an honor to have you on with us, sir. We always got to pick your basketball knowledge, man. How's everything? Good?
Everything's good. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Gabe. Looking forward. We're going to definitely have some fun discussions on the NBA with you, get your thoughts as well. I think this is Lou. Lou, is this you?
Yes, it is, Steve. Pleasure to be back.
Shout out to Lou, man. Thank you very much. And if you're not speaking, we're going to mute your line because we're going to minimize all background noise. Hey, Don, let's start off with you first, man, and then we'll get the game and get the Lou. But, the NBA Finals, Don, I had no horse in the race, right? And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the NBA Finals. Oh, hold on. Let's see if we get somebody else on. Who is this? 7950. Who is this calling in? Get you on and get some thoughts. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, this is, hey. Brutus.
Oh, okay, Brutus. Man, we got the whole Twitter gang on here, man. Brutus, man. Shout outs to Brutus, man. We got to get your thoughts. By the way, Brutus, next week, I said it about a minute or two ago, next Thursday, we will be on live during the NBA draft, as all their teams make the picks. So definitely join in on that as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk about this. Dom, top level, man. I enjoyed the NBA Finals. I didn't have a horse in the race. I was kind of rooting for Milwaukee. I'm glad they pulled it off because this was the type of season I think, Dom, a lot of teams caught breaks because of injuries. Give us your thoughts as far as how you looked at the finals. I'm glad Giannis dominated the way he did. I mean, he was a monster last night. Give us your thoughts, Dom. If you know the ratings, I know you'll be up on that stuff. Let us know. We go right down the line with Sports Talk with Gabe Sports Podcast is with us. We got Lou. We go to Brutus, and I'll get my thoughts. I love the finals, Dom, but that game five, man, especially that strip with Drew Holiday, I've been raving about that for a week, man, and how he threw that oop to Giannis when they were already up one in game five in Phoenix. Your thoughts, Dom. Let's go right ahead and get to everybody, get the thoughts on this NBA finals and try to get – and Dom, your thoughts also your thoughts with the NBA season as a whole as well.
All right, we'll start with the ratings. As of this morning, TV ratings, NBA Finals closed on a two-year high. It was the highest-rated game, not just finals game in 2 years. The percentage was up 33% from this year's finals to last year's finals. Now, of course, we could blame the pandemic. We could blame the bubble. We can blame whatever we want to blame, but like I said to you earlier on, Steve, could it have been interesting? Like you said, we didn't have no nickel in that dime, and so did a lot of other teams or a lot of other fans, but they tuned in maybe, possibly, just to see something new. I don't know, Steve, but I was hoping when I spoke to you Monday that today we'd be talking about the championship because we had a feeling they was going to win last night, so... Away from the finals and on to the game, again, for some of the people that me and you don't talk to all the time, I can't say enough about Drew Holiday. I can't say his name as many times as I've said it before. Best two-way guard in the league. I thought at first point guard, but now, and you know what, guys? He got a chance to prove it on the highest stage. He played for bad teams. He didn't get a good break, but he came to a team and – not to bring up old news, but the Milwaukee Bucks built something good, a lot of it from scratch, got a good bunch of pieces, but they needed a point guard. As we've needed a point guard for 20-something years, they went out and got him a point guard. And everybody mitched and moaned about, oh, they gave up five draft picks. Well, get back to me when those five draft picks win a chip. Right now, Drew Holiday has a ring, so... You can look at those five draft picks 20 years from now. It don't matter because they won the ring with the player they went out and got. So those that cherish draft picks, well, when you need a piece and you got to sacrifice tomorrow for today, it came to fruition. The weirdest thing, guys, is this could be a Disney movie. I mean, Giannis scores 50 on the 50th year of Milwaukee winning the championship. That you can't make that up. That's made for TV type stuff, man. And God bless that young man, 7-for-19 from the foul line. He can't do this. He can't do that. Okay, well, you know, the NBA, too many NBA fans want to base NBA on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's still decided on the court with points, rebounds, wins and losses. No matter how we slice it, a lot of people were against Milwaukee. Again, Steve, like you, I had no nickel in the dime. I just wanted to see a good series. I had a feeling Milwaukee would win, and they did. They showed up. They was a much better defensive team. We could get away from the age limit with Phoenix and their bunch of young players. Milwaukee just played better defense, you know, and Drew Holiday stood in Chris Paul's ass the whole series. And like I said to you the other day, Steve, Chris Paul didn't turn 36 after game two. He was 36 in game one and game two when everybody had Milwaukee dead in the water and Chris Paul drinking from the fountain of youth. I don't know what happened on the plane ride, but he was 36. Don't blame his age. You know, you had him be in the next Nate Archibald. 3, 4, 5, it was over. They just had better defense. And their three players showed up to play. If you get Giannis, Holiday, and Middleton to score 20, it's a wrap. And then you got Holiday's defense. I think defense actually won the game. We could talk about turnovers, but the other team got to be playing pretty good defense for you to commit those turnovers. So, hey, congratulations, Milwaukee. They had a great run. You know, we've counted them out a couple of years in a row. First round exit, second round exit, conference final exit. And now they're the world champs. It's happened to other teams, Detroit, Chicago. You know, other teams had to climb that ladder, and they climbed the ladder. Good for them, man. Good for them. It's good for basketball, guys, because now we don't have to see the same old teams every year, year after year. It's a good thing for basketball today.
All right. Shout out to Don, man. Let's go to Gabe, man. Sports Talk with Gabe, man. It's an honor to have you on with us to talk some NBA, man. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals. We'll get the Lou. We'll get the Brutus. Get the professor on. And then, of course, I'll chime in. Go ahead, Gabe. Fire away, man.
Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, the NBA Finals, this was probably some of the best finals in quite some time, in my view. I mean, the thing about it is, like you say, it was like the gentleman was saying earlier, it was new, it was fresh. I mean, like I say, it was the first time in a decade that they didn't have, you know, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. So, I mean, so I think that's part of the reason, not only were the ratings for the finals was up, but also the playoffs in general, the ratings were up. Because you saw a lot of new teams. I mean, you saw the Phoenix Suns who picked off, you know, my Lakers. So I didn't have a dog in the fight either. I mean, and you saw Brooklyn. I mean, which we haven't seen Brooklyn be significant since, you know, Jason Kidd was on that team. And you also saw, I guess, well, Milwaukee's been there a few times, but. But you, of course, you saw Denver. I mean, they were in there for, you know, second year in a row. So you saw some teams and some new faces that we haven't seen before. I mean, this was actually Devin Booker coming out party because this guy's been in the league 6 years, and until this year, nobody knew who he was because the Phoenix Suns was irrelevant for the past 10 years.
Sure.
And, of course, he was on those teams that were winning 25, 30 games a year and basically lottery pick. Now, with that being said, you know, what you saw in the finals, I personally believe that the Phoenix Suns lost this series in game 5 because, yeah, it was 2-2,
yeah.
But they came out and they blitzed the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they were up 16 after the first quarter. I mean, they were just hitting any and every shot that they could get. Then the second quarter turns, and Milwaukee counterpunched them, basically going on a 21-5 run, and it was clear sailing from there. So yeah, so kudos to Milwaukee Bucks. Not only just the team, but, you know, the ownership, you know, the management, you know, like was said earlier, that, you know, they gave up all those draft picks to bring in Drew Holiday, a point guard, and it paid dividends because, like I say, he had his moments where he scored the ball, you know, shoot a good percentage, and then there were times when he didn't have a great shooting night, but he basically bodied up Chris Paul. Like a safety on a tight end in the NFL. So I would say, and also give it up to also coach Budholzer. I probably jacked that name up, so my apologies. And because he was actually taking a lot of heat for all the past failures of the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, There was even talk that if they didn't get it done, he was going to get fired. So, and he also, one of the criticisms we had of, you know, Budenholzer was, you know, and of course I made this criticism myself on my podcast, that he didn't seem like he knew how to make adjustments. But after going down 2-0, he made the adjustment. Not just in the finals, but also throughout the playoffs. I mean, let's go back to this Eastern Conference semifinals. They were now 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets, and in game 2, they lost by 49 points. I mean, they got ran off the court, and. Yeah, they, of course there were some injuries, you know, I mean, with the Nets, you know, with Kyrie Irving, and of course James Harden was a shell of himself. But you know what? This is sports. Injuries happen all the time. So I mean, they took advantage of it, and you know, they went ahead and they won the title. Now, of course, in a way, we also have to. I mean, you got to give the Phoenix Suns credit. I mean, they went farther than they should have went. I mean, of course, they dropped my Lakers because Anthony Davis being down, LeBron was a one-man team. I mean, they got through Denver Nuggets without Jamal Murray, and, of course, they got through the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. As I say, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but that's the way the ball bounces. Now, of course, I was rooting for the Suns to win because I wanted to see Chris Paul finally get one. I mean, he's been in the league, you know, 17 years, and he's everywhere he's gone, teams have gotten better, and I figure this was his last and possibly best chance to win a title, but it didn't happen. So, moving forward, it's going to be kind of tough for the Phoenix Suns to repeat again going to the finals because all these teams are going to be healthier now. The Lakers are going to be healthy. The Clippers are going to be healthy. Denver Nuggets are going to be healthy. Golden State's going to be healthy. So it's going to be a tough road. But overall, I think this was good for the NBA to have two small market teams go at it.
Shout out to Gabe, man. Sports Talk with Gabe, the sports podcast, man. Thank you very much. Let's go to Lou, get his thoughts on the NBA Finals. When they get to Brutus, we get to the professor, we get back to myself, and go back around. Go ahead, Lou. What's your thoughts on the Finals?
Well, it didn't turn to me exactly what I thought it was going to be because I really thought the Suns were going to take it. And, you know, if anybody deserved to get a championship ring, it would be Chris Paul. You know, 16 years in the league as come up short, and I really thought that, you know, that the Suns were really going to take it. But it looks like the Bucks had too many weapons. It took a while for the Bucks to get their footing in, but once they got it, they never looked back. And the Greek Freak, you know, he took command of the game and the series, and it turned their whole fortunes around. Not to mention, of course, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. I thought that with the injuries they were having, that was going to be another factor in it that for the Suns to win because the Bucks were being, you know, beat up, and you know how can you win a series with your best players injured? So I was thinking that, but hey, they all proved me wrong. In six games, the Bucks won it. Now I was a little surprised you say that the rings were up because, you know, I mean I know we got the two best players out there right now. Saying Paul and Giannis, but you know, two small market teams that won't really draw much of a fan base and doesn't really draw a lot of, you know, real attention outside, like, you know, their respective areas. So I'm a little bit surprised that the ratings are up from 2019. I mean, they had to be from last year because last year, well, you know, like you said, blame the pandemic, blame whatever reason. I mean, I think we just lost a little bit of luster after last year, and of course, nobody can blame him for that. I mean, our minds were on something else more important than the game itself. But, you know, this year, fans have seemed to come back. Viewers seem to come back. I know I was one of them. I really have my heart set, though, on the Suns winning. You know, but I don't think Chris Paul is done yet. I mean, there was rumors saying that he was going to retire. You can throw that right out the window now, people. He's not leaving. You know, and he said it himself right after they lost. So the Bucks played a good game, and you know they deserved it. They proved to be the better team this year, and 50 years in the making to get a championship. You know, of course, I'm still in for the Knicks to get theirs before I die or turn gray, whichever comes first. But that's another story for another time. Congratulations! But now let's see what you can do to repeat, because as we all know, it's tough for people in a championship year. The next year, and they already have the odds makers out for who's going to win next year. But if anybody buys into that, you know, that's their own opinion there, because I don't really buy it, because how can you tell who's going to win a year from now when the season just ended? That's just, you know, just wishful thinking. So I'll just leave it at that. Gentlemen, the other business comes, so I'll have to get back to you about another week or so. But on that note, good night.
Shout out to Lou, man. Thank you very much. Let's get to Brutus and get his thoughts. Brutus, what was your thoughts on the 2021 NBA Finals, Suns and Bucks? And then we get to the professor, we get back to me, and then we'll get back to around the entire season. Brutus, what's your thoughts on the Finals?
I definitely feel that people at the beginning was putting some disrespect on Milwaukee because all Phoenix did was hold the first two at home. And I know usually that's an indicator if you win the first two, normally the team would go on to win. But I felt as until somebody won on the other court, which is what Milwaukee did in game five, and that, of course, gave them control of the series. And, of course, they just went on for four straight to close it out. But there was definitely a lot of against Milwaukee after those first two games, and I'm glad that Giannis and them pulled it through. As far as Chris Paul and making it or not making it, it really hasn't been a big thing that I was thinking about for him. You know, he's had a lot of chances with a lot of good teams, and for whatever reason, they can't get over the total hump. In this case, it's the closest he got, but his team around him was a little young. This year, like you said, a lot of injuries all across, helped both teams win. But, it was really great for the NBA to have this, the two smaller market teams battling it out, except for Giannis, most of the other names aren't really household, and Chris Paul, but, not your main guys that was in it every year. So it was definitely a fantastic series. Definitely, hats off to the Milwaukee Bucks. I really didn't want to see Chris Paul get his ring before Melo and or Melo not get one, because, oh, my God, that poor banana boat, that thing would be, crazy. If Paul had the ring, too, with Wade and LeBron and poor Melo would be on the outside looking in. I just didn't want that for him. So maybe those guys will go to team up in L.A. and, see what they could do out there with an older squad, but, they still would have some they still kind of horses, LeBron isn't showing they wear too much. Chris Paul, we see what he just did in this series. Melo has been great. If they do pull that off, then that would be great. I know a lot of people are possibly looking at the possibility of Chris Paul coming here, and I just don't see it, under any real circumstance, unless it's like a final option or nobody else wants to give him, $80 million or $100 million for 2 years, and we're the only fools that would do it. I don't think we're ready for that step yet. Or if Chris Paul is looking to, bring it all the way across the line, I don't think we would be the team that he would come to. So I see it as that. But, I'm definitely happy for Milwaukee. It took them 50 years. How long has it been since we won our last one now? Since it's been 73, we're coming up on 70. How many years is that, guys? Who's good at math?
51, 52-ish.
48.
Is it 48?
48, okay, so that looks good. So maybe in the next 2 years it'll be our time to do to break that 50. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that we put ourselves in position. But, I guess not to go on about, what's coming up for this year, being that we're supposed to be just talking about what happened in the finals. But, the finals was great. I think it was great for the league. I think it was definitely great for Giannis to go ahead and cross that bridge and now have a ring. Now he could probably go out like Dirk. You see Dirk only got the one and that was it. But now, of course, Giannis is a lot younger, so he may yearn for it again later on. The fact that he's got one there already, if Milwaukee was to take a downturn, in, let's say, the next couple of years, maybe he might decide to walk out so he could get that feeling of winning again. Maybe he may not be so against, you know, forming some kind of super team elsewhere, maybe even here. You know, so we don't know what's going to happen, but the fact that he now has one, I think maybe even makes it more tenuous for Milwaukee because he's already delivered one there. So if they don't do everything exactly right the way that he feels is going to put them in position to keep winning, he could easily now ask out, and they may have to oblige because he did deliver for them, you know. So that's my take on the whole thing. You know, congratulations, Milwaukee Bucks. You know, also shout out to Phoenix for a very good year, above what anybody expected from them. And, you know, I'm anxious to see what's going to happen here in 21-22, especially depending on the health of a lot of guys now. It's not just a few guys. There's a lot of guys who got hurt this year at certain points and times during the season that really changed the whole plight of this entire season, you know. So that's the way I see it.
All right, man. Be true to life. Brutus is with us here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. Let's go to the professor himself. What's up, Chief? I need to hear from you, man.
What's
we got to get your thoughts. The historian you are, man. The godfather. What's up?
Oh, man. What's up? What's up? What's up, gentlemen? Man, well, hey, you know, great points from this panel thus far. I like this spirited conversation. Makes you feel good to be a basketball fan, man, especially an NBA fan. Where do I start? Hey, Gabe, I got to hang out with you one day, man, or at least tune into your show. We think alike.
I
like that. And let me tell you. Where do I start, Steve? The last time Milwaukee won it, I was out there 7 o'clock in the morning the next morning working on my game because I wanted to be like Jabbar. So, and there was like 10 other dudes out there with me out in the park. And, yeah, it was about 7:30 in the morning in the summertime, dude. And this morning I looked outside, there was nobody out there. And we a neighborhood that got a lot of kids, so it was kind of weird. It shows you how the needle has moved in the past 50 years. Look, Phoenix, congratulations to them. They did what they supposed to do, man. They're supposed to rise above anything else and flip their fortunes around by beating the best of the best that they could that are in their way in their conference. And they did the right thing by doing that. Unfortunately, and nobody talks about this, but losing Dario Saric in the first game really, really screwed up their goddamn chemistry, you know, because there was no other secondary scorer that they can depend on who also has size and plays defense. And for some reason, they just could not get past that. And besides the fact that Milwaukee's game elevated after the second game, their whole persona elevated after the second game. So that was that too. Everybody hit on the points I was going to make already, man. I don't want to repeat the whole scheme of things, but I believe, let me tell you this real quick, though. I think it was Brother Brutus that spoke before me. Was that it? Was that him? No. Hello?
Yeah, it was him.
Am I on?
It was him. Yeah, it was him.
Yeah.
I was on mute.
Let me tell you what I think. I think that Milwaukee will continue to win, okay? I think Giannis will continue to play at this high level for at least another 4 or 5 years, and I think Milwaukee, instead of him walking out, I think Milwaukee's going to become a somewhat desired destination point for some players. I really do. I think that's a franchise that's finally got their shit together in terms of upswing, and everyone in the organization has bought into it, especially with the high that they're feeling right now. I think that they really, for instance, they have an excellent chance to repeat again. They don't have a lot of competition in the East, believe it or not, because everybody's incomplete over here. Okay, and I really do think that that's an organization that has a desired goal to excel now. Okay, whereas before they were trying to find their feet, and I believe that they're on their way to. We're going to hear from them for a while now. This wasn't just a flash in the pan. This was 5 or 6 years in the making of a champion, and it worked out pretty well for them. I don't think. I also feel. I tell you what, man. I'm a draft nut. I'm an NBA draft nut, and I remember the draft of 2013 when cats like, I don't know, Michael Carter Williams, Caldwell Pope. I remember C.J. McCollum being drafted, Oladipo. I remember all those cats being drafted, and when it got to Milwaukee's turn, and they picked this cat at number 15, this Giannis dude. I said, have they, like everybody else, I was wondering whether they lost their goddamn minds or not. The kid was mad skinny. You could blow him over with just a cough. You know, he could take a shower under eye drop. You could put he just did not have it, and we felt he didn't have it. You know, and sure enough, man, that first year, you know, under Larry Drew, and then once what was my man's name from Duke? It'll come to me in a minute. He was the big guy, Jabari Parker. Thank you. Once he came in and they wanted to build a team around him, you just knew that old boy was going to be left out in the parking lot. But he proved everybody, mm-hmm. especially me, wrong. So I've got to be the first to say, yo, Giannis, you are absolutely the king of the throne right now, man. I totally apologize, man. Nobody, that's the most outstanding performance I've seen in the seventh game, man. This Magic. And, bruh.
Big time.
He's at the top of the goddamn scale, and he can't get pushed over. I actually didn't even pick the Bucks to win the series. I thought it would be the Phoenix, and also I was rooting for Chris Paul, man. But you know he's going to join the Malones and Barclays of the world, man, because there ain't no way he's going back here again unless somebody picks him up. And hey, listen, let him just chalk it up to having just a very very well rounded career. Everywhere he went, teams got better. He obviously is a top 5 point guard in NBA history. Let him just take his laurels and walk away with him, man, because that was it. Because every team, at least four that I could think of, and I think Gabe mentioned most of them, every team is going to get better in that conference next year. And Phoenix is going to be part of the mix, but they are not going to be the exception. So, I mean, let's just be realistic about that, especially with full camps and full rosters now. I'm not sure. So, hey, chalk it up to that. There's not really much I can say, Steve. I was listening to the show.
Let me ask you this, man, about Phoenix. And this is actually going to lead into our next around the league, as far as your thoughts around the league.
Yeah.
Why not Phoenix next year as far as an opportunity to get back to the finals in the sense of, okay, we understand the injuries. Kawhi had to partially tear to his knee. We all know about LeBron. Matter of fact, the irony is part of the Antetokounmpo in that draft is the black sheep of that draft who may have turned everything around in the NBA season was in that same draft with Solomon Hill, who caused the LeBron James injury that changed everything in the
league
because the Lakers were rolling. So the point
that's
is,
right.
Why not Phoenix?
Why
not Phoenix has an opportunity? I mean, are we all banking on Jamal Murray coming off an ACL injury? Are we banking on the Clippers is going to really hold it together this time? Or is it Dallas? Like, why not Phoenix? I mean, I'm trying to make a case for Phoenix, you know?
Because this is just my opinion. This is just me over here. Because you have
I hit you with Perry Mason real quick.
let me give you my synopsis. This is where I stand, Your Honor. No, because I believe that you have to be angry enough and have that eye of the tiger to come back and with enough vengeance to do something like this, to come off the loss, a very painful four-game sweep at the tail end of a great series like that. And you got to come back angry. And I see that in Booker. I know there's enough Ayton has enough guile. He's a young cat, even though he looked absolutely petrified last night. to come back. I know they have those things. Monty Williams is enough of a motivator to get these guys going in the right direction. But I'm gonna tell you what. There are guys over there, and there are teams over there in the Western Conference that are just as angry as they are. Okay, Denver let me back up. The Lakers, okay, are not going out like that. Like, it was unfortunate that what happened to them this year. They have pledged they will be back next year in all their full fucking form. You got Denver, who's just with the MVP and everyone else around them. They also have that kind of anger. You got to have a certain kind of guile, Steve, to come back after a loss, a finals loss like that, and be just as competitive, just as angry, just as athletic as, what's the word I'm trying to find here? Just to come back on that level, you have to have an eye of the tiger. And I'm sorry. There were other teams over there in the Western Conference, particularly the Warriors and the Lakers, and somewhat the Clippers. And also, don't discount the Utah Jazz that feel that they have more to prove. And so they're going to go over there, and they're going to try to cancel each other out like it's a top 10 heavyweight division of the 1970s. That's what it's going to look like. Milwaukee has nothing but the Brooklyn Nets over here. Let's just be honest about that. Philly's not going to do anything because I live right here in the midst of that shit, and they are they're a puzzle piece right now trying to find themselves. No one knows what Boston has going on, and that's the end of the Eastern Conference right there until we get our shit together. Over there in the West, there are too many fucking teams that are ready to knock their blocks off, and they have a big target on their back. And it's going to happen. I just don't see them returning. That's I don't want to hog the whole show, but I really don't know how to answer that question. I just know that they need more than what they have in order to return to the finals.
Fair enough. See, I'm a try to get into more of that in this off season because I'm buying some of that Phoenix stock, man. Because remember what Phoenix did in the bubble last year? They were undefeated. They were on a mission, and I think that mission continued into the second seed in the West. But Dom, I'm going to go back to you, but let me say some of the points that everybody else said. I want to fly through this so we make sure we have enough time to get off. You know, Milwaukee needed this more than Phoenix. I think Chris Paul needed it more than Phoenix. Chris Paul needed it more than Phoenix because obviously the points, like Gabe said, he's been in the league for so long. Milwaukee was the team who had the best record in the East. One of those years, the best record in the entire NBA. They just ran into a swarming Kawhi Leonard Raptors team 2 years ago, and they had the horses to defend the Bucks. They played that, you know, we're going to build this wall against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it worked. And the rest was history. Remember, Bucks were up 2-0 on that series. Raptors came back and just smothered them. Bucks next the following season was rolling. They probably would have won it last year, but the COVID thing happened, and I think that screwed up everything for them. And they went into the bubble, and Miami got hot. They just ran it. It was just a bad situation for 2 years with that team. Now I want to go back to the point what Gabe said. I love this point about, and I almost damn near forgot they lost by almost like 50 points to Brooklyn that one game. I almost forgot about that. Say, but he's right. I said it, I think, at the time, Dom, game three when they went back to Milwaukee, the adjustments. And Gabe made a great point. Like, he would have lost his job had they not at least got to the finals. You know, he's got a job now for at least the next 5 years or so. But the point is, the adjustments, they slowed Brooklyn down. And that's all they needed to do. I said, yo, you can't outscore Brooklyn. You're going to have to slow this shit down. And they did. And they played a boring game, and it worked as far as slowing it down, you know, winning the two games at home. I loved game seven in that Eastern Conference semifinals. I loved it a lot, man, because, you know, I think that was my favorite game of the playoffs. I don't know where you guys stand. If you guys have, thoughts about that, or your favorite game, that was the game Durant made the three, but his toe was on the line. That game, game seven, that was my favorite game in the entire playoffs. But I want to say all this to say – Chris Paul's getting a lot of criticism as far as how poor he played, but nobody wants to give the adjustment kudos to Budenholzer because That was the adjustment I saw in the entire series where it changed everything, throwing Giannis Antetokounmpo on Chris Paul. That changed everything because Chris Paul was rolling against the Lakers. He was rolling against the who the hell they played in the next round after that? Shit, who the fuck did they play? In the Western Conference Finals, they got past Denver. That's what it was. They threw Giannis on him. It slowed everything. Like those go-to buckets that they were getting because they were deferring from Devin Booker. They weren't there for Chris Paul. Chris Paul ended the Denver series, and that none of that. Mike Budenholzer ended all that shit. I love the adjustments from Budenholzer. Don, let's go back to you, man. I want to make sure we all have enough time to get some thoughts. Don, give us your top level thoughts on the NBA season as a whole. I thought the season was all right. You know, pretty good. No fans for the most part. Until, you know, certain arenas started to allow fans. I always thought, you know, with our squad, we played better without the fans. And I think once the fans got there, we just got, you know, it was done after the Hawks. But I thought the season was good. I thought the playoffs was very good. I mean, like I said, this is probably my favorite finals in like 10 years, man. Maybe outside of the Warriors Cavalier one when Cleveland came back from 3-1. But I enjoyed the finals. I thought this regular season was pretty all right, man. What's your thoughts on this season? Where you think where the NBA can go with this? And then we go back to the sports talk with Gabe, Brutus, and Chris, and so on and so forth.
Overall, it was a good season. Listening to everybody with their injuries and this and that, people stood tuned in. You know, so that – and again, let's not run with the injuries because you can't say on one hand the NBA has the greatest athletes in the world. They were falling like hotcakes. You know what? They don't drink milk. I understand injuries happen, but don't blame a condensed schedule because you signed up for it. Don't blame the quick turnaround because 70% of the NBA wasn't going that far after the bubble opened up. So We can make all the excuses we want, but it happened. And I'll say this about Phoenix, guys. When they say some of the guys, did they have a slight chance? You know, in 2016, UNC lost a national championship at the buzzer. And everybody said, oh, they're done. Nobody could bounce back from that. And they won the championship the next year. The thing about Phoenix and what Godfather said, the hunger, you got to remember, they're bringing back some young players that not only got better last year, got better this year, made it to the finals this year, so now they have some experience under their belt. And let's keep in mind, guys, this is only Monty's third year coaching. So for people to count them out because the Lakers might be healthy, well, we know Anthony Davis' history. That didn't happen during the bubble, the year after the bubble. That's his M.O. So I'm not going to count Phoenix out, not by no means, because Ayton is a beast. Mikal Bridges is showing not only can he score, but he could defend. Booker is Booker. I think they'll still put on a good show next year. Will they go to the finals? I'm not going to predict nothing. I'm not Nostradamus. But they have a good young team coming back with some serious experience under their belt. We could blame all the injuries that they avoided, the Kawhi Leonard. Well, he's an accident waiting to happen. Jamal Murray, that was an injury, but you can't say if they had this guy. If ifs and ands were pots and pans, the world would be a kitchen. They beat everybody in front of them. You know, somebody brought up the Bucks beat Brooklyn after being down 2-0. Oh, but they had injuries. Nobody said they had injuries when they went up 2-0 and won a game by 40-plus points. You know, you play the team in front of you. You go to war with what you have, and you go to war against what the opponent has. I'm not counting Phoenix out, guys, because they're one of the reasons this NBA season was pretty damn exciting. You know, everybody was saying, oh, they went 8-0 in the bubble. That was the bubble. And they rode that all the way to the finals. I mean, come on. Give credit where credit is due. Young players, third-year coach. They have a good ceiling, fellas, with or without Chris Paul. They have a pretty good ceiling. and let the chips fall where they may next year. You know, the NBA season was great, and somebody brought it up, and we spoke about this earlier, Steve. When the first round of the playoffs started, the Knicks and Hawks game was one of the most highest rated NBA shows this year. That was the first round of the playoffs. That's how interested people got really quick, because they were seeing new blood, the new blood the Knicks had, the new blood the Hawks had. And it just carried us all the way to last night. So this is a win-win for the NBA, guys. I hope they keep it up. I'm tired of seeing the same garbage every year. I'm a Knicks fan, so during these situations, I have no horse in this race. I just want the NBA to become more competitive. This buddy-buddy system has made a weak league weaker. And Milwaukee and Phoenix broke that genie out the bottle. You know, you could team up all you want. We're still going to go out there and play. This is a win for the NBA, guys. Because if you had all these super teams and they weren't getting as many fans involved and interested as these two teams, you had an issue. You actually had an issue that nobody wanted to address, except some of us, because the ratings, gentlemen, have been down in the NBA, regular season, 7-8 years, ESPN, ABC, TNT. So now we got a spark, and let's ride this wave, guys. That's all I can say, Steve, but don't count Phoenix out, by no means.
And one more thing I want to add to that about the injuries, Don, before we go to Sports Talk with Gabe. The fact that Giannis got hurt in that Atlanta series, and they still was able to get past the Hawks without him that one game. So we could use the injuries as an excuse, but you're talking about the MVP of the finals without a game in, the rest of the team picked up the slack with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday versus the Hawks. So we could use the injuries, but you had the big honcho, the two-time MVP and the finals MVP was out of game, and they still got past. They needed to do what they needed to do. Sports Talk with Gabe. Your thoughts on the season as a whole as well. We'll go to Brutus after that, and then and the professor, if he wants to chime in, then we get final thoughts after that. Sports Talk with Gabe, what's your thoughts on the regular season as a whole?
I thought the regular season was good. I mean, I think one of the things that this season brought out was, like, as I stated with Devin Booker, this was a coming out party. I mean, like I say, for 6 years he's been in the league, and nobody outside of Phoenix knew who he was. I mean, he was on some bad teams. But it also brought out another star in the making, and that was Trae Young. I mean, he's been in the league, like, I think 2 or 3 years, star player out of college. So we got to see, two guys. I mean, Booker's 24, and Trae Young is 22. And I'll admit, and I said this on my podcast, in one of my episodes, that a part of me actually wanted to see Phoenix versus the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, even though it probably wouldn't have been a sexy matchup, but I think this would have been a great opportunity for the NBA to put on a full marketing blitz, promoting both Booker and Trae Young as the stars of the future. So what this season proved that the NBA is in good hands. I mean, like I said, you got Devin Booker, you got Trae Young, you got, Jamal Murray and Jokic, like I say, young guys. You got Luka Doncic, who's 22. So, and of course, I know Dallas, they got exited out early, so we don't talk about Dallas, but still, what you saw, I mean, this season is you saw a lot of the young stars come out. And like I said, this goes that the NBA is in good hands, because we have to remember, LeBron's not going to be playing forever. I mean, Kevin Durant's not going to be playing forever. Of course, Chris Paul, he's not going to be playing forever. And James Harden, same thing. He's not going to be playing forever, just to name a few vets. So this is good that the NBA fans got to see what the future holds. And I think one of the things I actually liked probably more than anything was the play-in tournament. I mean, I think that's
a great concept.
I mean, you get the teams 7 through 10 get a chance to get into the playoffs. I mean, think about it. After the Lakers beat Golden State, I mean, I think Memphis is like, what, number 9 or 10? And they upset the Golden State. I mean, even though they lost 4-1. Well, another superstar we got to saw was John Morant, another a guy who's, I think, 21, 22, somewhere around that age. So, again, the NBA brought, I mean, we were able to showcase that the future is bright. But I think that play-in tournament, and I'm glad they're going to extend it again for another season, I think is a great concept. Because who's to say that the number 10 team could actually sneak into the playoffs? Now, one of these days, I believe a number 9 or number 10 team is going to upset a number 1. I mean,
whoa!
I know so far we haven't had somebody come back from 3-0 to win a series in the NBA. Of course, I think that's going to happen sometime in our lifetime. Don't know when, but it's going to happen. So, in closing, I just want to say that this is a good season, and like I say, I think the NBA is in good hands for the next 5 to 10 seasons.
All right. Honestly, Gabe, we're going to get some final thoughts from you a little bit later. We make sure we get your sports talk info for your sports podcast, Gabe. Stay with us for a little bit longer. We'll get to you. Brutus, anything else you'd like to add for this season as well as this NBA season? And then if the professor has anything to say, then we'll go around for final thoughts after that.
Season in the whole, I felt, was definitely enjoyable. The injuries did really, so many of the stars went down for good periods, and the COVID protocols and stuff of that nature, and actually guys getting COVID still during this season. Hopefully, that this thing is really, put to bed for next season, that everything could go on in full, without the guys having to miss games because of, COVID protocols and stuff like that. That really took away a lot, from quite a few teams. Teams had to have major players miss games because of it. But all in all, it was definitely a fight through attrition, The strong had to stand at the end, and that's what happened when Milwaukee, and they almost took a big tumble there when Giannis got hurt. It could have really derailed everything for the entire rest of the series. It would have been an easy, most likely, walk through for Chris Paul and the Suns had the injury been worse to Giannis. So, definitely hats off for Giannis for really, saying like, listen, I don't worry about nothing. We got a chance to win a chip. They whatever they did to him, he got himself back out there and played at one of the highest levels ever seen in the NBA Finals. So that was definitely really big to see. A player that really could have just sat out and called it a show. Based on the way the injury just looked, he rolled it out and did a great job. Also, of course, being a Knicks fan like most of us here, probably all of us, I would believe, but just going back to, I would have liked to seen our boys win at least 2 in that series. I really would have liked to see Randall and Barrett play a bit better than they did. I think if we would have really just kind of played on all cylinders, we could at least push to 6, if not 7, and maybe even won the series if the guys were just on that, just playing right. You know what I'm saying? It's like only 3 guys really showed up for the whole series. So that was a little, the season in the whole, especially for us, I mean, what could we say? We went from being – so we was going to win 20 games, you know what I'm saying? Winning 41. And, it was really not understanding what we was doing at the point guard position. I really didn't understand that whole deal. Many know how I feel about that, what what should have happened, and well before it did. You know, with Derrick Rose and Peyton, I will never understand that whole situation. That will be one of the great mysteries of the whole NBA season. What the heck made them continue to play Alfred Payton game after game when he clearly, after some point, was giving us nothing? You know, whatever Tibbs was saying he was giving us, it really wasn't translating into helping us really do anything. We was losing leads early, getting behind big, coming out with maybe even with a lead in the second half, and right in the third quarter, boom, lead gone, down big. It was just a mess. And they got to solve that. However they solve it, whoever they put back there will be an upgrade going into next season. But that's part of the next season. But the NBA in a whole is in a good spot. A lot of young stars coming up. I wish they would give our young star a little bit more props than they do. I mean, you know, RJ had one of the most solid seasons that I've seen by a second-year player. He gets very little kudos for it, for his increases in the shooting and everything like that. And that's one of the reasons why I wish he would have had, just a little bit more comparable to his regular season in the postseason. Besides one game, I believe, you know, the rest of the games, the shooting was pretty awful for the whole squad, but minus D. Rose and Taj Gibson
we'll get into that next week during the draft. We got to wrap up because we're about to run out of time. We'll get into all that next week with our squad during the draft. Anything else you want to say for the rest of the week? Because we're about to get cut off. Anything else you'd like to add? Or
no. Go get it. Next man up.
All right. Be true to life on Twitter. Hey, Chris, you anything else you'd like to add before we get everybody? I want to make sure everybody gets their final thoughts in. Chris, anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say spirited talk with these brothers. Gabe, Dominic, Buddhist, hey, fantastic insight. Hey, you guys are true fans, and I look forward to next week, Steve. So I'm saying, appreciate it.
All right, now final thoughts from everybody. I want to make sure everybody gets in. Gabe, Sports Talk with Gabe. Tell everybody your information for your sports podcast and your final thoughts, real quick, and then we'll get to everybody else. Dom, Brutus, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay, well, my podcast is Sports Takes Galore with Gabe, and of course you can find it on everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, Anchor. And, of course, I'm also on Twitter at GGSports13. And I'm also I have a Facebook page for my podcast. So it's Sports Takes Galore with Gabe. So go ahead and check all those out. And, of course, my final thought is just basically that, of course, thank you, Steve, for having me on the panel tonight. And, I mean, this was a great discussion. I mean, everybody, like you say, is a true fan, and everybody's insight was excellent. And I hope we look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
And Gabe, thank you very much, man, for coming on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, man, with Brutus and Dom and Chris, myself. Follow his page, Sports Galore with Gabe, man. Good sports guy, man. Knows the shit, man. Had him on, man. Thank you very much, brother, man. Dominic, your final thoughts? We got the draft next Thursday, man. We'll be back on, but your final thoughts, man. And then Brutus, and then Chris, and we'll wrap up.
My final thoughts is the NBA learned a valuable lesson this year. You don't have to promote individuals to have a successful league. They promoted team and two teams that we never thought would get there made it there. Kudos to that. The play-in tournament, maybe I'm old school. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. You're punishing teams that busted their ass for 82 games. The 9, 10, 11, 12 seed had just as good a chance to do it in 82 games. You're watering down the playoffs. Though some might think it was exciting, drag the season on, which they complain about, injuries, too much playing, all of that nonsense. But if you didn't have enough Kunans to get you between 1-8 in 82 games, then guess what? Think about next year. On that note, Steve, I thank you again, brother. You know, I love you. Keep up the good work, man.
Shout out to Dom, man. Donato DP, man. Brutus, be true to life. Final thoughts, man.
Yes, sir, man. On to next year, man. I'm excited what's going to take place next week in the draft. So many options out there. Anybody who thinks that they know, especially what our front office is going to do, I think they're going to pull some rabbits out of hats. So we'll see what's going on. I definitely am looking forward to, you know, the draft and summer league. You know, we haven't even touched on that. You know, we have guys that are young that didn't get experience last year. So I'm glad that that's going to be back in full force, you know, to get a chance to be quickly in them out there. And OB, this is what they didn't have last year. You know. And this year should be very exciting as well for the entire league, you know, coming through. And hopefully they'll work it out where they still don't pack the games the same way they did, even though they're going back to 82. You know, because all this load management stuff, like somebody said, the old school, man, I don't believe in all that load management and this and that and having to miss, you know, back-to-back, so, you know, in every game. You know, some kid is going to miss seeing some star that they really wanted to see, you know, on the one night that they hit the ticket because of a load management, man. It's really upsetting, but you know, it's still in a good place, and hopefully they could, you know, get things to where it just seems that there's so many more now than there was past that kept guys out of it. You know, guys would play on almost anything back then, you know. So that's why I give really big ups to Giannis and what he did. That's it for me.
Shout out to Brutus, man. Be true to life on Twitter. Give him a follow, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, you got any final thoughts, man? I know we got the football mañana, but, man, anything else going on the basketball, man?
No, I just want the Knicks front office to take notice. This is how you win the championship. On both ends, you got to give Phoenix love. You got to give Milwaukee love. That's how you do it. No tricks, no fillers, no super teams. Just go ahead organically, build a team, bring them together, make them understand that in order to win, you got to work as a squad, have a unified vision, and get it done. That's what the New York Knickerbockers of the 70s were about, and that's what we should be about in the future. That's all I'm going to say. I'm signing out, Steve. Thank you very much, brother.
All right, man. So shout-outs to everybody, Dominic, Lou, Brutus, of course, the professor, Gabe, Sports Glory Talk with Gabe, man. Shout-outs to him joining us here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Transform on the Blue Blue Show. For the basketball, we'll be back next Thursday during the NBA draft. So if you're looking for us on Wednesday, you may want to wait another day, 9 p.m. next Thursday night, man. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.